appreciate the music here at Reinhardt. Did you know that the average American has $5,100 of credit card indebtedness? On top of that, the average American has almost $17,000 of auto loan indebtedness. That's shocking. And you may be sitting there and saying, I'm glad I'm not average. Amen, if you can say that. But that tells you there are some folks who are even worse shape than average. 64% of Americans cannot cover a $1,000 emergency. They don't have the means to pay for that kind of crisis. How about this? 76% of people live paycheck to paycheck, which means that if something happens to their job, they have nothing to fall back on. I was thinking about all of those statistics that I were brought to my attention recently, and my thought was this: it's no wonder that our government is in such shambles financially, because the lawmakers are running the government like they're running their own homes. They're spending money that they don't have to pay. And the reason I'm saying all of this is simply to say this: Dave Ramsey is trying to help with that issue, at least in our individual lives. He may not be able to help the government, but he can help us. He can help you individually if you will give him a chance. And I'm talking about the Financial Peace University classes that are going to start here at Reinhardt January 28th. They'll go for 9 weeks. And if you've never taken Dave Ramsey's course, I would highly recommend it. And if you have taken it, you can take it again. It can help you again. I know he has helped Cindy and I in our finances. We took his course several years ago, and it made a big difference in our finances. Now, I'm excited to say this, too. Our elders have put their minds together, and they are saying that if anyone who is a first-timer for the Financial Peace University, if you will sign up online and be willing to pay, I think it's $109 for that course, if you can pay that kind of money and get signed up, and there's the information is right here, and it's in your bulletin. It's on the posters around the room. If you will finish that course of 9 weeks, we will reimburse you some money that will mean that course will cost you only $75. Okay? Now, you have to finish the course. But that is a fantastic thing. It's saying that we believe this is helpful to you. It could be so helpful to you, and we're willing to invest in you. So take that into consideration. I hope that you'll be signing up over these next couple of weeks, and it will be a great thing for you. I'm starting a series of sermons on parenting, and this is a follow-up to the series that I preached in November on marriage. And as I said with that series, one of the first things I said was, I understand that series on marriage, this series on parenting, doesn't apply to everyone in their present circumstances. But I'm hoping that everyone understands the importance of such a series. Our young families are in need of help. And as I look out across the auditorium today, there are some young families here, but we need more young families here to hear sermons on parenting. And so if you know of families that you can invite and ask them to come and be a part of this series. I want you to do that. Our young families are in need of help. That's true for families outside of the church. It's true for families inside of the church too. And so I'm asking you, if these sermons don't specifically apply to you in the here and now, please be patient with me. I will promise you I'm going to preach a series of sermons in February that will apply to all of us. In the meantime, every one of us can be prayerful for those to whom the sermons do apply. I have actually, as Shannon mentioned a little bit ago, there is a list on the welcome counter there in the lobby. If you would be willing to be a prayer warrior for the families at Reinhardt, we'd love it if you would sign your name to that particular list. It says, I will try to pray every day for the families represented here in Reinhardt during the month of January. I'm going to pray every day for the families. If you would be willing to do that, sign that list. We need prayer warriors in behalf of the family. Maybe you read the newsletter article that I wrote just recently. You received it in the mail over the last couple of days. We must not fail to connect the dots of the good things that have been happening here at the church. And the fact that we have had 40 days, you remember, 40 days of fasting and praying back, it began in July, it went through the month of August, it ended in early September. Don't fail to connect the dots with that particular 40 days. We've seen a lot of good things happen over these months past, people coming to Jesus and the church growing. I think it all has to do with the fact that we spent a good amount of time praying and fasting for the church. And I want us to continue that emphasis upon prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And so let's continue to pray for what's happening here at Reinhardt, and particularly to pray for the marriages of this church, to pray for the parents of this church to be godly and wise, to pray for the kids to be growing up in Jesus. And as Shannon mentioned, to go along with the sermons on parenting, there are some daily devotionals that are out there in the lobby. I'd love it if you would pick those up, take them home, work through those. It will not take you long. It's just each day a scripture for you to look at and maybe a thought or two about that particular scripture. And those particular devotions, I think, will be applicable to everyone, wherever you are at in your life. If you have someone in your home, that scripture will apply, or that devotional material will apply to you, and we can be sharpened by the Word of God together. And so, this morning, the blessing of being a parent. That's what I want to talk about. Some of you are right in the middle of parenthood. Others of you, you've seen your kids grow older. They're out of the house. Maybe they're parents now. That doesn't take away from the fact that you are still a parent. And there is a scripture in Psalms 127 that I want to read to you. It's verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Could I encourage you to have God in the center of your household? Whether that is a household that is full of kids, or maybe it's just you and your spouse, maybe it's just you by yourself. If it's just you by yourself, you need to remember that you are not by yourself. He is with you, and He is in the center of your life. He wants to be in the center of your life and your activities and everything that you do. May He be the builder of your house. And verses 3 to 5 of that same chapter, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Sometimes they are a challenge, aren't they? Sometimes we lay awake at night and worry over them, and we have heartaches, and just it can be a difficult road to travel when you have kids under your care, but that doesn't take away from the fact that they are a blessing from the Lord. They are His reward to us. Let me share with you from my perspective why being a parent is such a blessing. First of all, it is an opportunity to love deeply. I was reminded of this over the Christmas holidays as I sat there sometimes for quite a while on my couch or in a chair and just holding baby Judah, my grandson, and I would talk to him and he would get this big smile on his face and it would get me right here. Now my son-in-law, Luke, would say, he was just passing gas and smiling over that. My daughter would say, Dad, he just thought you looked funny and he was laughing at you. Well, what do they know? For sure, I was enjoying that moment and loving the time of holding that little boy. And I had two other grandkids there through the week of Christmas, and I played hide and seek with Kenzie, my granddaughter, and I put Stetson on my back, and I was giving him a horse ride, and it was just taking me back to the days of when my kids were little and the blessing of being a parent. It's an opportunity to love deeply. I just shake my head and wonder when I read about parents who abuse their children and they may even go so far as to murder their own children. It's the devil's greatest deception when that kind of thing happens. Children are a gift from the Lord, says the New Living Translation. And oh, the memories. My family has what we call Abby stories. Our middle child, Abby, seemed to be the one who was always adding to our collection of stories. And she'd probably kill me if she knew I was telling you some of her stories. But I'm going to tell you a couple of them, and we'll just keep it a secret from her, okay? When she was probably 3 years old, we were having some kind of church dinner over in Fort Scott, and someone came to me and said, "Have you seen what your daughter Abby is doing?" And I said, "No," but I knew from how they had approached me, something was up, and so I followed them to take a look. They took me outside to the front of the church, and there she was leading a parade of kids across the front lawn of the church, and she had completely stripped off all of her clothes. I mean, she was stark naked leading that parade of kids, and I heard someone say, "There goes the preacher's daughter." That's one of Abby's stories. And the one that we like to tell the most, and when our kids get together, you can just better well believe this one's going to come up at some point through the time that we are together. And again, this was when she was small, probably about 5 years old, I'm guessing. All three of the kids were with me. I was taking them for a walk through the snow. We were in a field behind our house. The ground was completely covered with snow, probably 1-2 inches. It wasn't a heavy snow, but it was enough that the ground was covered. And we were going for a walk, and Abby was about to add to our Abby story. She was, she got down on all fours on her hands and knees, and she says that she wanted to show us how to eat snow. And I don't know how she learned, who she saw or what she saw, if she saw our dog eating snow or what, but she was going to show us how to eat snow, and so that's what she did. She began to eat the snow and lick it with her tongue, and it was funny. And it really got funny as she got down to the past the snow. She'd eaten all of the snow that was right there, and we realized she's eating the snow off of a cow patty right there. Oh, my. She never lived that one down. And I would almost imagine every one of you have your own stories about your family, don't you? And you get together and stories are told and you laugh and you have a good time, and hopefully who you're laughing at will laugh with you and take it okay, and that we don't carry it too far. But you know, it's just fun to be a family. Children are a gift to us from God, and it is an opportunity for us to love more deeply. And we love them through the hardships too, don't we? Life is not always fun times and laughter. It has moments of crises too. And I'm sure you have those kinds of stories in your family as well. At least three times for us, we weren't sure if our son Jonathan was going to live. The first time had to do with his heart, which resulted in a major surgery on his aorta artery when he was just 4 months old. The third time was a severe case of mono. He had actually just graduated from high school and ended up in the hospital. The doctor over there said it was the worst case of mono that he had ever seen. And we're at his bedside, and his breathing was so labored at this particular time. And I asked the nurse, I said, He's going to make it through this, isn't he? And she said, I hope so. I mean, what do you do in those kinds of times? You pray? You cry out to God? You love them all the more? You do everything you can for them? You love them through the hard times as well as the good times? I remember when Abby was in her first year of college and she was still living at home. It really wasn't a very good place in her life at that particular time for her. And her favorite line at that time was, I can't stand living at this home, it's still. And she said it one too many times for my ears to hear. And I said to her, if you say that one more time, I'm going to help you pack your bags. But you know what? I kept on loving her through all that, and her mom certainly did too. Parenting is not an easy thing, but it is a blessing all in all, and it is an opportunity for us to love more deeply. Luke last Sunday hit the nail on the head as he said, being a parent helps us understand the love of God more. We love our kids unconditionally. They don't have to earn our love. We love them whether they win the game or lose the game. We love them whether they are at the top of their class or at the bottom of their class. We love them when they don't even love themselves. And when it seems like they don't love us, still we love them. Parenting grows us in our love. We're talking about what are the blessings of being a parent. First of all, it helps us to love more deeply. Let me give to you a second blessing about being a parent. It is an opportunity to direct those that we love towards Jesus. And this is so important for us to grab a hold of. Our greatest responsibility and our greatest opportunity is to direct our kids towards Jesus. Let that sink in. He's really all that matters. Jesus is all that matters, because it's through him that we get to go to heaven. Let me read to you Matthew 16, verse 26. It says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" The answer to both of those questions is the same. Nothing is as important as the human soul. Nothing is as important as the souls of my kids and my grandkids. And that's why I pray for them constantly. That's why I took the time to teach them and to influence them when they were under my care. And that's why when my grandkids come, I do everything I can to influence them towards Jesus, to teach them about Jesus. I read to them the scripture. They have their storybooks, and I read scripture out of those storybooks to help them understand who God is and who Jesus is and the stories of the Bible. On my phone, I have an app. It's called the Bible for Kids. It has 41 Bible stories on it, and they're all kid-friendly. And my granddaughter is captivated by those stories. I bet over Christmas, I saw Daniel being thrown into the lion's den 25 times at least. And you know what? 25 times the angel rescued him. And I bet she's got that story right there in her mind. And she wants to read it again. She wants to show that story to me again. And we read scripture. And we sing songs together. I sing to them as I held baby Judah in my arms. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." The Bible, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. Those are songs that I'm helping those kids to learn and to have in their heart. It's crucial that we as parents and grandparents teach our kids about Jesus and the Word of God. It's this book right here that gives life to us. Do you believe that? It's this book right here that guides us and gives us wisdom. It's this book right here that introduces us to the Creator of the universe and the Savior of all mankind. And if we miss teaching our kids about Jesus and showing them how to love Jesus, then we are missing the most important thing. I am amazed at how we can sometimes, and how we sometimes give so much attention to the things that don't really matter in light of eternity. And I run the risk of offending people when I start going down this road, but I hope you understand that I am more interested in speaking the truth to you than gaining your affection. And so in the long run, I hope you will appreciate that. We teach our kids about math and science. And those are good things. We need those things. But if we don't teach them about Jesus, let me ask you, how far down the road will math and science get your kid? In light of eternity, it doesn't get your kid very far. And we teach our kids about baseball and basketball and football. And I tell you, nobody loves sports more than I do. I'm a sports nut. But a long time ago, I came to the realization that to teach my kids so much about sports, but not to teach them about Jesus, would be an atrocity to them. Because in light of eternity, baseball and basketball and football isn't going to get them anywhere. We've got to teach our kids about Jesus. We've got to show them how to have Jesus as their first love. And we've got to model that for them. Do you remember what Jesus had to say to those people in Revelation 2 who had left their first love? He said, "I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." Listen, we have got to teach our kids and model for our kids what it means to have Jesus as their first love. When I see my kids loving Jesus now in their adult life, and now they're turning and they're trying to teach their kids how to love Jesus, nothing makes me happier than that. Will our kids always do what we want them to do? No. But we must fight for our kids' souls. Let those words sink in. We must fight for our kids' souls. We must wrestle with God in behalf of our kids' souls. The devil is fighting for your kids' souls. We must fight for their souls, and we cry out to God for their souls. We wrestle with God in prayer for them, just as Jacob did, and we don't let go of him until he blesses us and he blesses them. And that should be true whether your kids are 3 years old or 13 years old or 33 years old or 63 years old. You as a parent, until you take your last breath, you wrestle with God for the souls of your kids and your grandkids. Let's pray together. As you have your head bowed, would you take the time to pray to God for your kids' souls and your grandkids' souls? And would you thank God for the blessing of being a parent, if indeed you are one? I thank you, Father, for allowing me to be a dad and a grandpa. And I pray that you would help all of us who are in one or both of those capacities, a parent, a mom, a grandma, a grandpa, a dad. Lord, help us. Help our kids, help our grandkids to know Jesus. May we realize there's nothing more important than that. It's the greatest responsibility that we have, is to teach our loved ones about Jesus, to pass on the torch of faith. I pray for the families here at Reinhardt. Lord, may you work mightily in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.